Chapter 1, The Greatest Commandment. Of all the laws and commandments in the Bible, which one stands as the greatest? This question, pondered by many, was boldly brought before Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. Imagine the scene: a scribe, knowledgeable in the intricate laws detailed in the Old Testament, approaches Jesus. His question, though straightforward, touches on a deeply complex matter, with so many commandments, covering every aspect of life and faith, which one rises above the rest? The scribe asks, which commandment is the most important of all? In his time, religious leaders often debated which laws were more significant. Some believed that ritual laws, such as those regarding purity and sacrifices, were paramount, while others focused on moral commandments like honoring one's parents or avoiding theft. This scribe's question, then, isn't just about which commandment to prioritize but about understanding the very heart of God's law and will. In response, Jesus answers with clarity that resonates across centuries, cutting through the debates and focusing on the core of faith. He says, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." In just a few words, Jesus encapsulates the essence of the entire law, love. This love, however, is not merely an emotion or a fleeting feeling. It is an all-encompassing commitment that directs our hearts entirely towards God and naturally flows into our relationships with those around us. By pairing the command to love God with the command to love our neighbor, Jesus reveals a profound truth: these two commandments are inseparable. We cannot genuinely love God if we ignore or harm our neighbors, and likewise, true love for our neighbors is rooted in our love for God. The commandment to love God encompasses our whole being, heart, soul, mind, and strength. It means offering God the entirety of ourselves, not holding back any part of who we are. It is a call to orient our lives, thoughts, and actions toward the Creator, the one who knows us intimately and loves us unconditionally. And from this deep-rooted love for God, we are called to reflect that love onto others. Our neighbors, whether close family or strangers, are all deserving of the same respect, compassion, and kindness that we ourselves desire. Jesus's response isn't a dismissal of the other laws but rather a distillation of their purpose. Every commandment finds its true meaning in these two principles of love. Whether it's respecting parents, being honest, or caring for the marginalized, all commandments ultimately point us toward loving God and loving others. This teaching underscores a radical simplicity at the heart of faith, reminding us that the way we treat others is a direct reflection of our love for God. Chapter 2, What is Love? When Jesus speaks of love, what does he truly mean? In our modern world, the concept of love is used to describe everything from affection for family and friends to enjoyment of hobbies, even attachment to material things. But Jesus speaks of a love far deeper, a love rooted in selflessness and commitment rather than fleeting emotion or preference. To understand his call to love God and neighbor, we must look beyond cultural interpretations and delve into the meaning of love as Scripture reveals it. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, provides a timeless description of this profound love in 1 Corinthians 13. Here, he defines love not by what it feels like but by what it does and does not do. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love, then, is not a matter of convenience or preference but an intentional choice to put others before ourselves, to seek their good even when it comes at a cost. True love, as St. Paul describes, has a quality of endurance. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is the love Jesus speaks of, a love that remains steadfast in trials, a love that is generous, forgiving, and faithful, Such love is not easily shaken by misunderstandings, anger, or self-interest. Instead, it is anchored in humility, willing to make sacrifices without seeking anything in return. This definition challenges the way we often think of love. In a world that encourages self-interest and promotes relationships based on mutual benefit, the selfless nature of God's love stands out as radically different. To love in this way is not easy. It requires a transformation of our hearts, shifting the focus from ourselves to others and, most importantly, to God. The love Jesus calls us to is a reflection of God's love for us, a love that is unconditional, merciful, and compassionate. God's love is patient with our failings, generous in His gifts, and never fails, even when we stumble. We see this love most clearly in the life of Jesus, who, in His humility, served others, forgave sins, healed the broken, and ultimately sacrificed His life on the cross. This sacrificial love is the model for us, a reminder that genuine love often involves giving up something of ourselves for the good of others. Understanding love as a call to selflessness transforms how we approach our relationships. Loving God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength means allowing His love to shape every part of our lives, extending to every action and decision. And loving our neighbor as ourselves means treating others with the same respect, kindness, and compassion that we desire. It's a commitment to seek the best for others, regardless of who they are or how they treat us. The call to love in this way also extends beyond our close relationships to encompass all of humanity. Jesus' teachings remind us that our neighbors are not just those in our inner circle but also strangers, the poor, the marginalized, even our enemies. When we embrace this love, we see every person as worthy of dignity and respect, as someone beloved by God. It challenges us to look past differences, to move beyond judgments, and to extend mercy, forgiveness, and kindness. The commandment to love, therefore, is not a passive feeling but an active choice. It is the guiding principle of the Christian life, calling us to act with integrity, to treat others with generosity, and to be patient and compassionate, even when it's difficult. This love is transformative, it has the power to heal relationships, to build up communities, and to bring God's presence into the world. In the next chapter, we'll explore how Jesus' response to the scribe emphasizes the inseparability of loving God and loving others, showing us that the two commandments are woven together as one. Chapter 3, Jesus' response. When the scribe asked Jesus which commandment was the most important, he likely expected a single answer. Perhaps he anticipated a focus on worship or moral conduct, as was often debated. But Jesus responded with two commandments, tightly woven together. The most important is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." This response was both familiar and revolutionary. Jesus drew from two central Old Testament teachings, the Shema from Deuteronomy, a declaration of God's oneness and a call to love Him wholeheartedly, and the command from Leviticus to love one's neighbor as oneself. By placing these two together, Jesus didn't just add one commandment to another. Instead, He revealed their inseparable nature. True love for God naturally flows into love for others, and genuine love for others is a reflection of our love for God. The centrality of loving God. Jesus begins by affirming the Shema, a daily prayer for devout Jews, emphasizing the unity and supremacy of God. The command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is an invitation to total commitment. This love is not partial or compartmentalized but encompasses every part of our being. Our heart represents our emotions, our soul our spiritual identity, our mind our thoughts and understanding, and our strength our physical and active engagement in the world. Loving God, therefore, is a holistic endeavor. It means allowing God's presence to permeate every area of our lives, guiding our thoughts, influencing our desires, and shaping our actions. It is a love that acknowledges God as the center of all creation and our highest purpose. When we love God in this way, we naturally begin to see His image in others, leading us to love them as well. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus then connects this command to love God with the command to love your neighbor as yourself. By doing so, He affirms that the love we show others is a direct expression of our love for God. If we truly love God, we will see His creation with reverence and care, understanding that each person is made in His image and deeply loved by Him. This command challenges us to view every individual, no matter how different or difficult, as a neighbor deserving of respect, kindness, and compassion. Loving our neighbor as ourselves doesn't imply a superficial or selective affection. It calls us to care for others with the same consideration and effort we show ourselves. Just as we seek food, shelter, friendship, and well-being for ourselves, so we are called to seek these for others, especially those in need. This love is not passive or limited to feelings, it demands action. It challenges us to be generous, forgiving, and patient, treating others with the dignity and respect we would wish for ourselves. The connection between the two commandments. By linking these two commandments, Jesus presents them as two sides of the same coin. We cannot truly love God if we neglect our neighbor, nor can we genuinely love our neighbor without a foundational love for God. This connection is a call to an integrated life of faith, one where our relationship with God influences our every interaction and where our compassion for others draws us closer to God. This unity of love for God and neighbor speaks to the very heart of Jesus' teachings. In His life, we see this model of love in action. Jesus' deep relationship with the Father drove His ministry and compassion for others. Whether healing the sick, feeding the hungry, or forgiving sinners, Jesus embodied this love in every encounter. His life was a continuous outpouring of love for God through love for others. A call to transformation. Jesus' response is more than a teaching, it is an invitation to transformation. He invites us to move beyond a checklist approach to faith, where laws and rituals are followed out of obligation. Instead, He calls us into a relationship of love, one that involves our entire being and leads us to act with love toward others. This is a transformative love that goes beyond mere duty or rule following. It is a love that seeks the good of others, even at personal cost, and finds joy in serving God through serving His people. The command to love both God and neighbor is a radical departure from self-centered living. It challenges us to live with a heart open to God's grace and a willingness to be instruments of His love in the world. When we embrace this dual commandment, we begin to see the world through God's eyes, filled with compassion, mercy, and a desire for justice and peace. This love becomes a guiding light, directing our thoughts, words, and actions. In the next chapter, we'll explore how this dual commandment of love translates into practical actions in our everyday lives, from small acts of kindness to greater efforts to care for our community and environment. We'll see how living out these commandments can transform not only our own lives but also the world around us. Chapter 4, Practical Love in Action. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The first part of Jesus' response, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, draws us back to a central tenet of faith, one recited daily by devout Jews in the Shema. This declaration acknowledges that there is no God besides Him, that He alone is the Creator, Sustainer, and rightful Lord of all. It's a reminder of God's oneness and sovereignty, calling us to recognize Him as the ultimate source of all goodness, truth, and life. But this acknowledgement goes beyond a statement of belief. By proclaiming God as one, we are called to place Him and Him alone at the highest place of honor in our lives. This means letting go of anything or anyone that might take precedence over our relationship with Him. It is a call to wholehearted devotion, where our identity, purpose, and direction are rooted in our relationship with God. To live out this command practically, we must continually reflect on what occupies the place of highest honor in our hearts. Are there aspects of our lives, be it ambition, relationships, wealth, or comfort, that we might be prioritizing over our devotion to God? Embracing the oneness of God means allowing Him to shape our values, desires, and decisions, aligning our lives to His purpose. When we let God take His rightful place, our love for Him becomes the lens through which we see the world and others. We come to understand that loving God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength is the foundation that enables us to love others as He commands. It transforms our lives into a continuous act of worship, where every thought, word, and action flows from a heart that honors God above all. In affirming the Lord our God is one, we acknowledge that His love and presence are enough. We declare that He alone satisfies our deepest longings and is worthy of our highest devotion. This alignment brings peace, purpose, and clarity, freeing us from the distractions and false idols that may seek to pull us away. It centers our lives on the truth that, indeed, there is no one and nothing greater than the Lord our God. With Jesus' teachings in mind, we come to an important question: how can we live out this dual commandment of love for God and neighbor in our everyday lives? Jesus calls us to a love that is more than words or intentions, a love that is lived, active, and felt by others. This chapter explores practical ways we can embody this love in simple daily choices, acts of compassion, and even in how we care for the world around us. Loving God with our whole self. Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is a call to constant communion with Him. But how does this look in practical terms? Here are some ways we can incorporate this love for God in our day-to-day lives. Prayer and reflection. Start and end each day with prayer, asking God to help us see the world through His eyes. Even a few quiet moments can center our hearts on God, helping us stay connected to Him throughout the day. We can pray for the grace to love, forgive, and see others as God sees them. Living with gratitude. Cultivating gratitude is an active way of loving God. When we acknowledge His goodness in the little things, sunrise, family, or even a small success, we remind ourselves of His love and presence in our lives. Gratitude can shift our focus away from complaints or worries to God's abundant blessings. Study and meditation on God's Word. Engaging with Scripture deepens our understanding of God's love and strengthens our relationship with Him. Meditating on passages that remind us of His mercy, compassion, and call to holiness helps shape our values, attitudes, and actions. Worship through our talents. Using our skills and talents for God's glory is an act of love. Whether it's creating art, helping in the community, or supporting family and friends, each action can be a reflection of God's love through us. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. Loving our neighbor often requires us to step out of our comfort zones. It challenges us to look beyond ourselves and consider the needs of those around us. Here are some concrete ways to practice this love. Acts of kindness. Small acts of kindness can make a big difference. Holding a door, offering a genuine smile, or taking time to listen to someone can brighten a person's day. These little gestures, when done with love, carry a warmth that resonates deeply. Serving those in need. Jesus calls us to care for the poor, the sick, and the marginalized. Volunteering, whether at a soup kitchen, a homeless shelter, or a community organization, allows us to share God's love with those who may feel forgotten. Service can be as simple as donating clothing or supplies or visiting the elderly or lonely. Practicing forgiveness. Forgiving others is one of the most challenging yet powerful ways to love. It requires humility and trust in God, letting go of anger and resentment. When we forgive, we reflect God's mercy and open the door to healing and reconciliation. Building meaningful connections. Taking time to build real, supportive relationships with family, friends, and community members is an expression of love. It means showing up, being present, and genuinely caring for others. Loving others in this way often involves sacrifice, but it strengthens bonds and brings God's love into everyday interactions. Caring for creation, a reflection of love. In his encyclical Laudato Si, Pope Francis reminds us that caring for the environment is also an essential part of loving our neighbor and honoring God. The world we live in is a gift from God, and taking responsibility for its well-being shows respect for the Creator and compassion for future generations. Here are some ways to embody this love for creation. Reducing waste. By minimizing waste and choosing sustainable options, we show respect for the resources God has provided. Simple practices like recycling, reducing plastic use, and choosing reusable products help protect our environment. Conserving energy and water. Small actions, such as turning off lights when not in use or taking shorter showers, can collectively make a big impact. These choices are small sacrifices that reflect our commitment to caring for God's creation. Supporting eco-friendly initiatives. Many communities offer programs to preserve the environment, such as tree planting, cleanup drives, or educational workshops. Participating in or supporting these initiatives is a concrete way of loving both God and neighbor by caring for our common home. Speaking out for environmental justice, supporting policies and practices that protect vulnerable communities from environmental harm is another way to live out this love. Whether it's advocating for clean air and water or supporting fair treatment of local resources, these actions uphold the dignity of all people. A ripple effect of love. Every action, no matter how small, can become a vessel for God's love. When we love God and our neighbor in these practical ways, we become lights in the world. This love has a ripple effect, inspiring others to do the same. When we act with kindness, serve others selflessly, and care for creation, we create an environment where people feel valued, respected, and connected. Love in action transforms hearts and communities. It has the power to heal wounds, restore relationships, and foster unity. Through practical love, we participate in God's work, bringing His love to those who may not yet know Him. This is the essence of Jesus' commandment to love, allowing His love to flow through us into the world, touching lives and building a kingdom of peace, justice, and compassion. In the final chapter, we will reflect on the lasting impact of living out these commandments and how this love can change not only our lives but the world around us. Chapter 5, The Example of Uncle Vic. In the journey of understanding and living out Jesus' commandment to love, we sometimes encounter people who bring this truth to life in unforgettable ways. For me, that person was Uncle Vic, a gentle, wise man who lived on the streets. Meeting Uncle Vic forever changed how I viewed the commandment to love God and neighbor, challenging my assumptions and deepening my faith in ways I hadn't anticipated. Uncle Vic was a homeless man, yet he carried a dignity and wisdom that transcended his circumstances. There was a gentle kindness about him, a calmness and inner peace that was immediately noticeable. He spoke with warmth and depth, often sharing reflections and poems about his life and his encounters with God. One poem, in particular, stood out to me. He described an experience where he felt God's presence with him during a particularly difficult moment. This poem wasn't just words, it was a window into the heart of a man who had found God in his suffering and who saw his life, despite its hardships, as deeply connected to God's love. Over time, Uncle Vic's words and presence began to shift my perspective on homelessness. I realized how easy it is to pass by people on the street without a second thought, assuming we know their story or their worth. But Uncle Vic reminded me that each person, regardless of their circumstances, is a beloved creation of God, carrying their own struggles, wisdom, and unique experiences. His life was a testament to the truth that love is not defined by material success or social status. Rather, it's an openness to God and others, a willingness to connect, and a spirit of humility. My wife and I began to look forward to our encounters with Uncle Vic. Our conversations with him were not only enriching but also humbling. Through him, we saw how God uses even the most unlikely people to bring his love and light into the world. Uncle Vic embodied a selfless love. He didn't demand anything, nor did he complain about his circumstances. Instead, he shared what he had, his stories, his wisdom, and his prayers. As we got to know him, we felt moved to help him in small ways, whether by sharing a meal or simply spending time with him. But looking back, it was Uncle Vic who gave us so much more. He showed us what it meant to see Christ in others, to love without judgment, and to be present with those whom society often overlooks. His kindness reminded us that every encounter is an opportunity to practice love, to see the world through God's eyes, and to recognize the sacred dignity in every person. One day, shortly after Christmas, Uncle Vic disappeared. We searched for him but never saw him again. It was as if he had been placed in our lives for a season, to teach us and to leave us with a lasting impression of God's call to love. Even now, I sometimes wonder if he was sent to us for a divine purpose, perhaps even as an angel. His presence was so impactful, his words so poignant, that it felt like more than a coincidence. Uncle Vic's example stays with us, reminding us that love transcends appearances, comfort, and convenience. He taught us that to love our neighbor as ourselves means to open our hearts to those who seem different or distant, recognizing in them the same image of God that we cherish in ourselves. Through Uncle Vic, we experienced firsthand what Jesus meant by loving others as a reflection of our love for God. It's easy to love those who are close to us, those who treat us well, or those whose lives look similar to ours. But Uncle Vic reminded us that true love crosses these boundaries, reaching out to the vulnerable, the forgotten, and those who may never be able to repay us. As we carry forward the lessons from Uncle Vic, we are reminded that every encounter is a chance to live out Jesus' commandment to love. Whether it's with a family member, a friend, or a stranger on the street, each person we meet offers an opportunity to practice this divine love. And in these encounters, we find that we are not just giving love, we are receiving it, too, in ways that nourish our souls and draw us closer to God. In the final chapter, we will reflect on how these experiences of love, like the one with Uncle Vic, leave a lasting impact and call us to live in a way that transforms not only our lives but also the world around us. Chapter 6, A Call to Love. Reflecting on Jesus' teachings and encounters like the one with Uncle Vic, we are reminded of the transformative power of love. When we truly commit to loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to loving our neighbors as ourselves, we are taking part in God's work of healing and restoring the world. This love is not a passive feeling or a mere concept. It's an active, intentional choice to honor God in how we think, speak, and act toward others, whether they are close friends, family members, strangers, or those society often ignores. Jesus' commandment to love is a blueprint for a life that reflects his light and presence in the world. Every day, we are given opportunities to live out this love, by showing kindness, offering forgiveness, speaking words of encouragement, and practicing compassion. The more we do this, the more we find ourselves transformed, moving away from self-centeredness and toward a life rooted in God's purposes. Uncle Vic's story serves as a reminder that we often find God's love in unexpected places and people. His example encourages us to slow down, to see others with compassion, and to open our hearts to those who may be different from us. When we choose to love, even in small ways, we become vessels of God's grace, bringing hope, comfort, and dignity to others. A call to action. As you finish reading, take a moment to reflect on how you can actively live out this commandment in your own life. Here are a few ways to begin. Start with prayer. Ask God to help you see others through his eyes. Pray for a heart that is open, compassionate, and willing to serve. Reach out. Look for small ways to make a difference, whether it's offering a word of encouragement to someone in need, reaching out to a lonely neighbor, or volunteering your time and resources to help those who are struggling. Care for creation. Take small steps to honor God's creation by reducing waste, supporting sustainable practices, and protecting the environment. When we care for the earth, we honor the Creator and show respect for our neighbors, both present and future. Live intentionally. As you go about your day, make love the guiding principle of every interaction. Ask yourself, how can I bring love into this moment? It may be through a smile, a listening ear, or an act of kindness. Embrace forgiveness. Let go of grudges and bitterness, choosing instead to forgive as God has forgiven you. Forgiveness is a powerful act of love that frees us and heals relationships. Let's answer Jesus' call to love by making it a visible reality in our lives. Let us be the hands and feet of Christ in a world that so desperately needs hope, kindness, and compassion. May our actions reflect God's love, spreading light in places of darkness, healing in places of hurt, and unity in places of division.